How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my God.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Oh, saucy indeed. Oh, I almost messed up that segue. Hey, welcome to the second funniest podcast. I'm your host, the Kevin Miller. And with me, as always, is Justin Warsham.
Holler at a player when you see him in the street, y'all.
What happened to your voice, man?
I lost it in Atlanta. I don't know what happened. I'm not sick. It just went away.
It sounds terrible.
Did you leave it at the TSA scanner?
No, but I'm going to start talking. I did get searched for my baby powder, and maybe this was something associated with a baby powder
maybe.
Or something. They had to test it. Like, they dabbed some of it, and then
really?
They put a chemical on it, like it was cocaine.
Yeah.
They were checking my baby powder.
Did they throw it in your face after they checked on it?
No. But they got angry at an old Latina lady who was crying because they had literally the contents of her bag everywhere out there. And she's just crying, and one of the ladies is like, ask her why she's crying. So this guy spoke in Spanish, and then he says that she just wants to go home.
She thinks that they're going to stop her from going home because they've sprawled out all
I don't know
stuff.
And then the TSA lady goes, I'm so sick of people crying for nothing.
You had a good experience.
The sensitivity training of the government workers is great.
Well, we are in episode 244, and Justin, you asked for the night off, so we're going to give you the night off.
Awesome.
Anything you want to tell your fans about anything?
This is me doing something to quit the second funniest podcast.
Wait a minute, what?
So this was a big effort. I had to drink a lot of salt.
What?
even a little bit of fiberglass in with the salt, just so I can make this happen. So I hope you guys enjoy the next couple weeks.
Dude, you could have just had the night off, bro.
That's commitment, dude.
Yeah,
that's commitment.
Would have let that happen.
When I return with my dulcet tones of loquaciousness. Wow. Buckle up.
You've been taking those vocab builder courses. We're paying off for
I'm
you.
I'm going to be reading a lot of books in these next 2 weeks. A lot of books.
All right. Let's see.
I feel like Dick Clark at New Year's Eve. I couldn't help you guys. Yeah, there's a laugh track in there.
Yeah, that's good. There's a lot of buttons here to play with. I could see why this was so...
You don't have to click. See the button, the letter? Just touch the letter, and that's the hotkey.
Nah, this is more fun.
Okay. That's Natalie bringing the show to a screeching halt.
Or me. Well, Justin Warsham, everybody.
Yay. You and Mr. Winger have a great time.
I was just going to tell everybody about Mr. Winger.
Do you want me to stay here or can I go?
You can go. Please go.
All right. Oh, wow. I love you guys.
Bye. Justin Warsham. There it is. So in Justin's place, he's going to go watch Star Wars as we do this show for him, is Mick Wingert.
Hi, everybody.
Mick Wingert, you have a very important job tonight. You have to be Justin Warsham.
I don't know if I can do that, but I can try to affect the sound. I'm not as funny as he is.
That's okay, but you sound just like him.
Oh,
so,
well, that's good.
We can write lines for you and hand them to you.
I left my voice in Atlanta.
Oh, how did that happen? Anything with baby powder?
I had the cocaine and drank salt.
Fiberglass. Something about fiberglass.
Something about fiberglass.
This is good. We killed 4 minutes.
Yes.
Nice work.
Yes.
Nice work. Now, Mick, you and I have known each other for years now. Years.
Yep. Four
and years.
in four minutes.
Really? Wow. It's to the day. It's to the day. How did we meet, Mick Wingert?
How did we meet? We met actually at church.
Yeah.
We were
Ecclesia. You're the second Ecclesia guest we've had on this show.
Who was the first?
Nate Whitty.
And how did he outrank me?
He knew Justin prior to to me knowing him.
Gotcha.
So, Greg Carell also phoned in once, and we talk a lot about Joseph Barkley. Now you're all caught up, but you know all that because you listen to the second funniest podcast.
Sure.
You probably an avid listener.
regularly.
Yeah. What's your favorite episode?
I'd have to say it was episode 152.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So first season, episode 52.
Correct.
And what was in that episode?
That, well, it had you and Justin.
I think actually season one only had 51 episodes, right? Yeah. Exactly 51 episodes. So good job. I'm glad you came onto the show to lie to me. And you've killed Justin in the other room. Poor guy.
Kevin, I do what I can. I hate to tell you this, but our entire friendship has been a lie.
I knew it.
Yes.
So dial it back. How did it all start? How did this beautiful relationship begin? Use a lot of character voices.
Well, there I was sitting in church.
What did the church sound like?
It was like this.
That's good.
And then over the din came Brandon Dickerson, I believe.
Who said,
no, it might have been DePaul.
It was Brandon.
All right, everyone.
Well, you just wanted to do your DePaul Thomas perhaps voice.
Don't give me away. So I'm working it here, Miller. I'm working it. Come
You're
on.
Doing great. 6 minutes.
No, it might have been Brandon. And Brandon said, turn and meet somebody new.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, around turns John Malkovich and says, good morning. That's not true. Around turns. But that did happen to a friend of mine at first at Hollywood Press. Literally,
really?
On a Sunday
John
morning,
Malkovich?
John Malkovich nice. Turned around and said hello.
That's pretty cool.
And but in my case, it was not so cool. It was just Kevin Miller.
What?
Here comes this fresh-faced Kevin Miller who said...
Oh, that, now that's where it goes.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Oh, good. And then what?
And...
The cows
came home.
I can see why Justin gets distracted by these.
And,
Anyway,
I'm totally distracted now. Ooh, shiny objects. Shiny objects.
So I turned to you and
you did.
I said,
you said, good morning. And we kind of hit it off. We started chatting back and forth. Mm. And I think we had some sort of potluck or something that day.
Yeah, maybe.
Because we sat down and had sandwiches together. And then
I think you're combining a few different days, but that's okay. It's all right. But don't cry. Oh, that's embarrassing. Beginning with the cries right off the bat.
So, needless to say, we kind of struck up a conversation, and then I started doing prayer ministry in the back, which was at that time we were standing right in the back, right in front of the booth. And you had taken on, after deciding that you didn't want to hide in the shadows, you decided to take on the job of doing slides.
That's right. Yeah.
And you were in the production booth right there. So I was always saying hi to you on a Sunday morning, and The rest is, as they say, history.
Yeah.
It's Hollywood magic.
I don't know whose history book or why they're reading it, but that's what happened.
Indeed.
You know, it's funny because for so long I've sat in this podcast and listened to Justin go on and on and on about the life as a comedian. And we have other comedians on here, and it's all very fascinating to find out about what roach hotels they live in and that sort of thing. And so now 2 weeks in a row, we get to ask this question. Why do you go to Ecclesia Hollywood? Churchinhollywood.com.
Why do I go to Ecclesia Hollywood? That's a great question. I just am trying to fill time right now.
You don't have to fill time. Believe me, this is what it's all about. You know that because you listened to episode 152.
Yeah.
Believe me, this is all going to fly right by. It's going to be great. Justin left and he forgot to take the kettle off the stove, so you might hear that in the background. Or you might hear Star Wars playing as well, which
indeed,
for some reason is left on. And it's going to distract me because CGI Jabba the Hutt was just on, which I find very captivating. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Why do I go to Ecclesia Hollywood? I go, how do I answer this question? I guess the most direct answer that I think most people will understand is I go there for the community.
Mm.
I think that there's certainly a spiritual dynamic that's going on there where I really believe that God has called me to be a part of this community.
Mm-hmm.
But truly the way that looks is in the relationships I have. People like you and Joseph Barkley and any number of people I could mention on a Sunday morning, of Brian Downey and Emily Mosley, Carrie Tombazian. Most of these folks are there's just depth of relationship there. And it seems to be a pretty genuine community. I found that, you know, in my church experience, I actually toured with a theater organization that worked in a lot of churches and schools and stuff. And I've seen churches of all kinds, and ours is certainly not without its problems.
Sure.
But there's something.
It's not perfect.
Sorry.
It's not a perfect church.
No.
From what I hear, it seems to float above the ground.
From what I hear, it's full of hypocrites. So
who's telling you that?
I don't know. So anyway, it's certainly not without its problems, but it is by far the one of the most genuine communities that's really seeking after God that I've ever experienced.
Very nice. And
from coast to coast.
And I was going to ask, why did you end up at Ecclesia in the first place?
Ecclesia is a church plant, an unorthodox church plant that broke away
from... Like we eat bacon? That kind of unorthodox?
No. It was horrible. I went there. They tried to serve me ham. They weren't observant of anything. I said, this is my sugar and I'm leaving. No. unorthodox meaning it wasn't like our mother church, as it were, planted us and funded us and everything else. It was actually a breakaway church. Mm-hmm. And I was going to the mother church at the time. I was going to...
You can say its name. It's
I nice. Was going to Hollywood... Only
Alec Guinness is listening right now.
No, it's too... It's too big to be a space station. That's no moon.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. It's that part, yeah.
So... Well, that is, the Death Star is really imposing.
Yeah, especially it's like bigger than Alderaan. It's pretty great.
It's pretty great.
Name a target, a military target. Stupid Blu-ray.
They're on Dantooine.
Dantooine or Tatooine?
It's Dantooine.
Oh, it's another planet.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Completely another planet.
They're like twins.
Dantooine is too remote for us to test our. I lost the line. It's gone.
Death ray?
Yeah, something. Dantooine is too far too remote for us to make an effective test of our death ray.
You see, now, where is that character in all the new movies that came out? Like, where are these high imperial, very snooty, Nazi-looking guys?
Yeah, the Peter Cushings of the world.
Yeah, why aren't they anywhere near the new Star Wars movies? You don't see any of these imperial guys, and it's just, man, it's a botched franchise.
It is. You know, it's bereft. It's bankrupt of bereft. The Nazi influence.
That's what it definitely
needed. Of the first.
It's a little more Nazism in the whole thing.
A little more Nazi.
Because you're a big Star Wars fan.
I'm an old Star Wars fan.
Okay.
What I mean is I've been a Star Wars fan since I was a kid. So in terms of big, do I read the novels? Do I read the graphic novels and the comics? And do I still have the toys? No. But did I have the toys when I was a kid? You bet I did.
I believe it, yeah.
You bet your sweet bippy.
What was your favorite toy?
I want to say it was the AT-AT because I begged for
it. Nice. You had like the serious 2.5-foot tall AT-AT?
I begged for it for Christmas and I played with it maybe 2 days.
Oh, why? You spoiled.
No, not at all. I just begged for it and begged for it and begged for it, and then it just wasn't that fun of a toy. It's hard to move that thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to move the AT-AT, right, Justin? Yeah, it's hard to move the AT-AT. And then if the joints get unstiff, you can't make it stand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's kind of stuck.
Yeah, it was hardcore. I really liked, the one I really wanted was the TIE Fighter, and I never got one. Mm. I wanted the Darth Vader TIE Fighter so bad. That would have been my favorite toy.
The one with the curved wings.
Yes.
That's the Darth Vader, yeah.
That's the only good one.
Yeah.
But as it stands, my favorite was probably the Snowspeeder. That was just an elegant looking.
Did it come with the AT-AT so you could take it down?
No.
Oh,
and it wasn't a scale either.
Oh, yeah.
So you had this giant Snowspeeder that could have taken out the AT-AT.
Just run into the side of it.
you're doing the little cable thing and you lose the cable within the first week. But you're doing the little cable thing and there's not enough cable to go around the legs.
Oh,
and secondly, this Snowspeeder is so big, it's bigger than the head of the AT-AT.
So if you lost the head to the AT-AT, you could
actually just put it on there. Yeah.
Mount the Snowspeeder on top of it.
Correct. Well, but it's cool because it had a button in the back and the little turrets would go back in and out. They go, and they'd light up. Mm-hmm. It was really something else.
Now, do you remember commercials from those early toys? Star Wars era?
Why do you think I wanted them all?
But they were totally different than commercials of today. Because nowadays it's more, you know, if you still see commercials for toys, that the little kid's hand's there and they've built these sets and it's very impressive and all these things. For those commercials, if you watch like the original old Star Wars commercials, there are kids in their living room playing with these toys.
Absolutely. Or in a backyard set.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, just these
models. That was
kids
a little later, like the first ones. Yeah, were just literally them playing. It was just the home video of them playing with these
Kenner
toys.
Kenner presents the Star Wars action figures.
Exactly.
Luke Skywalker. And they looked nothing. They looked nothing like. I mean, in this era where, you know, all of us have grown up with the action figure and now the guys of our generation are modeling and designing and articulating these toys, we were spoiled. I mean, the figures look just like the actors. But back in the day, It was just a blob of plastic with a blonde blob on top. Here's Luke. Oh.
Well, when Kate Mulgrew started on Star Trek Voyager, she said the very first day on set, somebody was going around taking pictures of her backside so that they could model it for the action figure. And she was like, what are you doing? And they told her, and she's like, go take a picture of someone else's ass. There are plenty of people in Hollywood. You don't need one of mine. Of course, they did.
Anyway,
because
and
it's
the
in
rest,
her contract.
And we all bought the action figure.
I had eight. I had the
nerd.
Borg Janeway. I had the
excited Janeway.
Yeah, exactly. I had the Starship Janeway. I had Transformer Janeway, where she actually became the Enterprise itself. Wow. Now you're distracted by modern day Carrie Fisher that just appeared on the
screen.
Oh, she
had some bad Botox.
I don't know.
She looks bad. That looks like bad work.
Now you're going to have to put a picture of Carrie Fisher up on the screen, Justin. I'll mark the time for you.
We were talking about Carrie Fisher earlier. Now she talks like this now. 15, she basically 22. Sounds like Justin.
In fact, that was Justin at the beginning.
Yeah.
In fact, it wasn't very nice of you to say that about Carrie Fisher.
I'm sorry.
Since she's here in the room.
Are you guys talking about me? No, anyway, Carrie. No, sit down, Carrie.
You moved to Los Angeles. Oh,
I
no,
did.
I was asking you first about why did you end up at Ecclesia.
That's
I think
correct.
You answered that.
I did. I was at the home church. The split happened, and I either decided I'm either going to stick with my denomination or with my relationships, and I thought, you know, I should stick with my relationships.
A fine choice.
And
you knew you were going to meet me.
That's right.
You know, we had matching T-shirts at the time, or matching shirts. Not that
we
day,
did.
But we had matching
we
shirts.
We had matching plaid shirts.
And we'd wear, I still wear mine.
It's blue, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Isn't it a blue plaid?
Yeah, but you lost yours.
Noel, I was too, it was a fat shirt. I was a big guy. I was a fat.
How much weight have you lost in the years I've known you?
From my heaviest.
700 pounds?
Just about.
750?
It was more like 820. And
this morning?
I thank you for forgetting. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you were like four people.
Not quite.
You were
four.
Jabba the Hutt. You had a tail. It was really uncomfortable. You stuffed that beanbag inside your shirt and walked around and like, is this guy normal?
No, it was
what's
horrible.
His problem? Although we did enjoy lounging against you during the services. Smoking our fake smoke.
Yes, and they fed me frogs, so that was good. With like
also
six
delicious.
Legs. So
no, you were a heavy man, and now you're not. You lost.
Yeah, I lost from my heaviest to my lightest. I'd lost 90 pounds.
That's
90
nice.
Pounds.
Yeah. Nice. How did you make that happen?
The hard way with
like rolling sevens
exercise.
Or what?
Yeah. Like, Papa needs some brand new pants. Lap band, here we come. Lucky seven.
Did you use the lap band?
I did not use the lap band.
I would
band.
Be terrified of anything.
No.
We knew a guy back at Great
Listen,
America.
Would you cut me open and put a rubber band around my intestine?
Oh, maybe
please?
I don't know what a lap band is. I thought the lap band was something on the outside.
No.
Oh.
It's a surgical procedure in which they put a rubber band around part of your intestine or part of your stomach. Well, we could take a caller on this if somebody has further education.
Skype isn't open.
But it's like a...
You could say anything and no one can contradict you. I do it all the time.
And the Nazis invented it actually as a method of torturing the Cambodians.
Exactly.
And it closes off a part of your stomach or your part of your intestine. So it's like a gastric bypass, but it's reversible because you take it off because it's a big rubber band.
Ugh. And so what does it do?
It makes your stomach smaller so you can process less food. It's the same thing as a gastric bypass.
Oh,
what they
it.
Do is
oh,
they,
I see.
They suture a part of your stomach together so you have a smaller pocket. Because we fat people, I say we because I have been, and I actually kind of am again. Anyway, so we expand our stomachs when we fill it with so much food. And what happens is they suture it off either by surgery or with this lap band, they'll like, they'll band it off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that your stomach is smaller.
Got it.
And that you can only handle and process so much food before you have to
go on
before you're full.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
so
I thought it was going
to
get
so what
graphic.
Happens is it is it's actually a surgical way to suppress your appetite permanently. That is until
disturbing.
You expand that section of stomach again.
Yeah, but aren't you just naturally still hungry when that's over? I mean, it sounds it corrects it.
You get the feeling of fullness.
Got it. Unless you have. You know, emotional issues that make you eat for other reasons, then you'll just
Correct.
Re-expand. Because I was going to say, back at Great America days, we knew a guy who was wearing those electric things on his stomach. And so it was intended to increase your abs. So instead of doing crunches, he wore this thing around his stomach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard of this.
It just sat there and vibrated the whole time. And I guess it kind of forces you to clench your stomach unnaturally, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. somehow it would give you these ridiculous abs. But that's not the same thing as a lap.
Not at all.
Lap band?
Lap band.
I got to write these things
like a
down.
Rubber band. You have a piece of paper and a pen. He just handed it to you.
Oh, that's a great idea. Let's see. L...
A-P.
That's like an upside-down V, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Band. Yeah. Okay, great.
That's right. And so then they send you to lap band camp, and you become a lap band geek.
Do you do the lap dance? Hey, come on!
Oh!
That's it, yeah!
Kevin Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
That one was for Justin, for the real Justin. So now you're skinny.
I'm sorry, I'm not able to be the podcast today.
That's pretty good. And congratulations on your skinniness. You look great.
Thanks.
Pretty good, yeah.
You look good, too, I must say. You've actually lost quite a bit of weight yourself.
Well, when we met, I was on my upwards towards inflating.
Yeah.
And then I got pretty big.
You hit
then,
deflation.
Yeah.
And
I found that lap band thing. I was like, this is pretty awesome.
Yes.
By lap band, I mean hamster wheel. I just started running in the middle of a hamster wheel. And it played that song only when I started. Like, the only way to make that music stop playing was to do it. So if you stopped running in the hamster wheel, it would go.
You'd play the saber hands.
Yeah, yeah. I can't stand the noise, and I get in the wheel and make it stop. So you moved to Los Angeles from?
From Fresno, California.
Oh, see, it's such a shame Justin's not here because he's from Modesto. And you guys
Modesto, California.
Talk about Turlock and why cows are important and part of you.
Cows are important.
What's the Fresno lifestyle? Is it all hicks out there?
It is the cultural mecca of the Central Valley.
What does that even mean? Does that mean you have a Starbucks and a Target?
Yes. No, Fresno's bigger than that now. It's got several Starbucks and actually like three Targets.
Really? Wow. Are they all on top of each other?
Yes, there's actually one multi-level Target.
It's
but
just
we consider
with an escalator.
It more than one.
Yeah. The men's Target, and then we go to the women's Target.
No. We do have three or four Targets. In fact, I had a friend from Fresno come down here and come to the Target in Sepulveda that is three stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, you have a three-story Target. That's crazy. I've never seen anything like that.
When I was in Newark, California, we had the first double-decker Target out of all of America.
Wow.
And we had the first escalator with the shopping carts in it. It was in the newspaper for weeks about how we were going to have.
That's an old story. How do you make that last for a week?
Exactly, yeah.
Today, a toddler climbed in the cart that was going up the cart escalator at Target.
They taught us everything. There was some German word for it because it was invented by a German guy, like a Wonka Wackenbader or something. I don't remember. Might have been a Muppet.
Wonka
Wackheimo. Yeah. Could have been.
It's Wonka Wash spelled backwards.
So, Fresno, what's it like there? Did you go to high school?
I did go to high school.
Did you inseminate a cow?
No, I did not. Not personally and not professionally.
Got it. See, some other people who are on this show
have inseminated cows.
They had a cow that.
Personally?
Yep. Yep. As part of their lab in science. Those words were in quotes.
I went to a performing arts high school.
Oh, wow.
That's true.
Got it.
I was a fancy lad. We were dancing on top of taxi cabs at lunchtime.
Wow.
And it was like fame.
Really?
No, not really.
I don't know.
But I really
I don't
did
know what
go to
Central
a performing,
Valley people do.
I did actually go to a performing arts high school. I did not. So there were no cow inseminations.
Let me guess. I'm going to guess five shows. You tell me if you did any of them.
Okay, go.
Okay. You can't take it with you. Oh, really?
No.
I thought for sure. Tevye, whatever his is, the Fiddler on the Roof. Really?
Sorry. Truly.
Oh, come on.
Nope.
We Justin has one. Oh, did you do both of those? Yeah, Justin did both of those.
No wonder he's lost
thought
his voice.
Thought for sure. Okay, let me think. You didn't do like Wizard of Oz. Oh, did you do...
Come on.
Jesus Christ Superstar? Really?
No, these are like this. No, Jesus Christ Superstar would not have flown in Fresno because it is somewhat sacrilegious because it ends at his crucifixion without the resurrection. And Fresno is the buckle on the Bible Belt of California.
That's true. Yeah.
So
the dead center.
So that
of
is
it.
Like the absolute dead center of the Christian culture there.
Right.
So that wouldn't have
flown. So you didn't do hair then?
No.
Okay, I get it.
Actually, we did.
Did you?
No, we didn't.
Oh.
But we did do a lot of unconventional stuff, but that's an on
okay.
hair. You get
Come
two
on.
More. Two more.
No, one left. That was it.
What is the classic high school theater, classic theater in general?
Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, no.
Oh,
Our Town. Ding, ding,
Damn
ding, 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 Our Town.
I gave you too much credit. Romeo and Juliet would actually be a credible piece to do.
Indeed. We actually did, I was in Much Ado About Nothing. Yep. No, I'm sorry. I was in As You Like It. That's what it was.
Of course.
As You Like It. We did Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
We did the full musical version with flying and everything.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We did...
You're too young to do Rent, but you your high school probably did do Rent once it came out.
Eventually.
And Wicked, I'm sure.
I don't know.
I'll put money on it.
We didn't do Les Mis, even though they did the student version. Truly.
Oh, man.
You know... L.A. Baptist High School has done Les Mis, but, exactly. But not Roosevelt School of the Arts in Fresno, California.
You're kind of comparing trends with trends there. It's
like, so let's see.
Did you do High School Musical, the musical?
Is this podcast over yet?
No, you're almost halfway there. You're doing
great. Yes, hooray!
Told you to go by real fast.
winner, lobster dinner.
Oh, we're having lobster? Sweet.
Yes. Well, we were talking about something about before we got onto Fresno.
Well, then you moved after you did all these shows.
Yes, that's true.
You moved to Los Angeles. What brought you to Los Angeles?
You're a good interviewer. I have to tell you that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to pause there. And let
Are you mocking me?
No,
I can't tell
not at
if there's sarcasm.
No,
I got to wipe it off.
You're almost James
microphone.
Lipton at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Then came
pretty
a little
sure.
thing called voiceover.
We're not there yet.
Oh, sorry. Actually, that is why I came. I came because
I didn't came a thing called voiceover. Pretty good, right?
It was not like James.
No, it was pretty good.
That was more like Data.
It was pretty good. And voiceover.
On the 33rd Annual Academy Awards with Kevin Miller.
I'm sure
now, here's your host... Ebenezer Scrooge!
I don't know. I think it's supposed to roll into something else. Anyway,
I don't know.
I'm doing a really good job.
Yeah, thank you for bringing our podcast to a screeching halt.
Isn't the rim shot or the drum roll supposed to roll into something, right? Oh, we got to set that up. Yeah. Oh, okay.
But zero to stop.
Doesn't
it.
Play like the ta-da or anything? Where's the ta-da?
There's no ta-da.
Here? It's on here. I've heard it. Oh, way down there. Oh, gosh.
Screeching halt. I actually came out here to do voiceover.
Go on.
Yes.
Yeah, how did that work out for you?
Not too well in the first 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been out here for 6 years.
But you moved down here with the desire to do voices.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So this is great. So you moved down here for 6 years and hit your head against the wall. Why?
Because it's hard to break in. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly, that's what it was. I was very, very blessed to have a good demo mm-hmm. that I actually made in the Fresno area, which... is not easy.
Yeah, a lot of cows.
To do small market stuff and be able to translate it to a larger market and still sound credible.
Because it had cows on it.
Because all of the cows on the CD. And
I think we have a little bit of that.
Yeah, do you have my demo there?
I think so, here.
Okay, here it goes.
Oh, no, that's not it.
That's not my demo.
But that was pretty good. There were other animals.
That's about the response I got. You must have been there.
Yeah, well, I've heard your demo a few times.
Oh.
Is that still the demo you use today?
No.
Got it.
No, it's not. So
you banged your head against the wall for 6 years. What did you do in the
meantime?
But I
was very blessed because I had a good demo, and I got an agent within the first nine or so months.
Oh, okay.
Not even
so
that long.
Within
the first year, I had an agent, which is really tough in this town.
Okay.
Of course, everybody who comes from a small market thinks, oh, I got an agent, I'm going to be successful. And that's just like opening the door. You still have to book the gig.
That you just makes you a viable person. Yeah.
You're
now in the arena.
You exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I just kept auditioning my little heart out, booked a couple of little things here and there.
What were you doing in the meantime?
Working a day job. And actually, I came down. This is really smart. And for all of you listening at home, you definitely want to follow my financial advice. And that is, don't come down with any reserves. Just borrow your way to a richer life. So I actually lived on credit for a while because that was intelligent. And for about 3-4 months, and in that time, racked up a huge amount of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I immediately had to get a real job.
Yeah.
And I worked, believe it or not, I just started at a temp agency, and they placed me in a blood bank. They needed somebody to just help with front office stuff at the blood bank.
That's right. You did that for a while.
I did. And then I got hired by the blood bank to help recruit donors for their platelet program. Mm. And that's kind of what I did for a while.
So how long did it take from you arriving into Los Angeles to where, because now you're a full-time voice actor.
I am a full-time voice actor.
So
it
how long?
It has taken about 5.5 years.
Five and a half years.
Full transition.
In an honest, like you've talked to a lot of other talents.
Oh, yeah.
You know a lot of folks on both ends of the spectrum. How do you fare compared to anybody else moving to Los Angeles with the dreams of making it big?
What do you mean, how do I fare?
Well, is that a normal amount of time? 5.5 years.
Yeah, plan on at least that.
If I
at
have,
least that, if not up to 10 years.
If I'm like you, I'm out in Fresno, California, or yes. somewhere, you know, a huge city like that, like Waco, Texas, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've got the talent. I could be the next Mick Wingert. I'm going to move to Los Angeles, and in 5.5 years... I'm going to be a big star. Is that a reasonable expectation?
It can be, depending on whether or not you actually have an accurate self-assessment. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're sitting there thinking, I got talent because I can act, yeah, and yeah. you can't act.
If this voice is on your voiceover demo, you might not be talented.
If you do a really good Homer Simpson at Thanksgiving dinner, that's not a good sign.
I don't know if you can do a Homer Simpson, though. There's only one man in the world that can do it. So if you're him,
yes.
that'd be great.
But they're not looking for Homer Simpson.
Not now, yeah.
Not at all.
That's true.
If your talent assessment of yourself is accurate, I think, yeah, half years.
How do I get a talent assessment of myself?
By doing shows, listening to feedback, taking classes, even where you're at, take a community theater class or do a play and see what your director says about you.
And then I do all those steps, and then I should expect when I move to Los Angeles in 5.5 years, I will be a successful voiceover actor.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Good. Now that I've
guaranteed,
got that.
You've got the Mick Wingert guarantee.
Right. Good. We get that in writing.
5.5 years.
I'm writing it down on this pad of paper and pen that I've got here.
Five and a half years.
5 to 5.5 year guarantee. Yes. No, I mean, really, this is what I struggle with all the time. So I see folks move into this city thinking that they need to worship the golden idol of performance, and then if they work hard enough at it, they'll eventually get their break. And all it does is breed a bunch of very frustrated, cynical people.
Absolutely. You got to know what you... Here's the thing. About 4 years into this thing, I had hit a dry spell.
I'm sorry, what was that word?
I had hit a dry spell of auditions and was sitting back going, I don't know what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at my professional business resume at 32. Mm-hmm. 32 years old, thinking, okay, I have a resume that's a mile long and an inch deep,
yeah,
and never been at been at one place more than a year to a year and a half. I've done all kinds of different stuff. I'm a great entry level candidate for just about any company, and I'm not getting this dream career that I'm working so very hard for. Maybe I should start planting and doing something like a real job because this is really tough.
Yeah,
and that's really tough for somebody who has had a background. And I took classes, and I did have an agent. I had a couple of agents who believed in my talent.
Yeah.
And even then I was realizing how hard it was. I had to get to the place where I discovered what my irreducible minimum was. Like, what, when I reduced down to the absolute basic, what do I have to do for a living? Who am I created to be by my creator, God? And it was a voiceover talent at some level or another. Mm-hmm. And what that meant was, what was I willing to sacrifice in order to get this?
Were those sacrifices?
Well, I took, took very seriously the fact that I wasn't going to be in a professional career level job that would advance and make me oodles of money, which would also in turn provide a certain amount of security, which would make me more desirable to a person of the opposite sex. And all of that, all of those things, they all stack up.
Yeah.
Everything kind of bases on what you're going to do with your life, especially as a guy, as a man. So, so for me, I had to get down to the point where I said, okay, am I willing to make X sacrifice? For at the time it was working for the American Red Cross. Mm-hmm. And they presented me with this plan by which I was going to work 6 days a week just in order to accommodate my auditions, just so I'd have extra time during the day. And which doesn't sound like much here in a podcast, but when I was considering it, I had just come from working, you know, three jobs, and I was wanting to settle in and try to have my cake
and sort of reliability and a steady paycheck and all that.
And I had to decide, that's a sacrifice I was willing to make.
So you were working 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Doing 40 hours over 6 days instead of 5 days.
Got it. Yeah.
I was working Monday through Saturday and 4 days a week. I was at a 2 hour, or I had 2 hours off in the morning.
Right. Yeah.
So we're talking, anytime I got an audition, It had to be on the absolute early morning schedule. Yeah. Go to the agency first, then go to work.
Yeah.
Then come home, do all my stuff.
So, I mean, bottom line, like you said, it doesn't sound that impressive. People work 6 or 7 days a week easily, but it was a choice you had to make.
Absolutely. That I didn't have to make that choice. Right. That I could have chosen to say, you know, voiceover's great and all. Maybe I'll have a hobby.
Yeah.
But.
You could have gone the other way. Well, I'm going to work a lesser job with less of an income and continue to starve on this. But you were willing to do both, to be able to be a reliable human being that was willing to pay his rent on time.
Absolutely.
And be responsible and continue the dream. But that meant you sacrificed
a lot
going out
and being at 32 and watching a lot of my peers have their first house and have their first kids and be married and be you know, in certain social standing in their you know, societies that they were moving in, and being guild leaders and stuff. And me, I...
Guild leaders for, like, World of Warcraft? Yes. Nice. Oh, I thought you were going for, like, a SAG guild leader. I'm like, I can't deal with you.
I was throwing in a joke.
It was good. This is the second funniest podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I thought this was the funniest podcast.
No, we don't do that here.
Oh.
We tell a joke every other time.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Right. I'm worst guest, second worst guest ever.
We've had a few. So,
basically, I had to get down to the point where I said, I am willing to make this choice in order to do this career because I truly believe I must do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line in Chariots of Fire, where Eric Little, who's the main character, he's a Christian who is this incredible runner from Scotland.
Yeah.
It takes place at the Olympics in the early 1900s or 1920s, and he won't run on Sundays . He's set after the Olympics to go to China, and his sister is going to be a missionary with him in China. And she comes to him and says, I'm concerned about you, that your eye isn't on where we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And Eric Little responds. He says, you know, let's see if I can affect the Scottish accent. He says, I know that China is my destiny. I know that's where I'm supposed to be. I know that's where God's called me. But when I run, I feel God's good pleasure.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of...
I didn't hear any of that. I was too busy admiring your Scottish accent. It was pretty good.
Thanks. So that kind of affected, that was the synthesis that I had. It was like, I know that it's not my ultimate calling or purpose to be a voiceover actor because it's just a job.
Yeah.
That's all it is a job.
Yeah.
But when I do it, I feel God's good pleasure. Like I'm operating in what I was designed to do in terms of a career.
Yeah.
So I had to get to that place and decided, yes, no matter what, I will make these sacrifices in order to have this career.
Yeah.
I will put everything else at that point in my life subsequent to that. Now, that would have been a completely different choice had I been married with a kid and yada, yada. Yeah. That's a completely different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I was a bachelor, you know, renting a room in a house. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to continue this.
You had a mini fridge.
I had a full-size fridge.
Oh, well, with a mini fridge inside of it, right?
Correct.
Because the big one didn't have any power.
Right.
You're like, hey, baby, welcome over. Did you want something from the fridge?
The the cooling unit on this fridge is broken. So we've got the mini fridge inside.
That's an ice chest.
Well, we call it the mini fridge, but I have to go down to the shop and go and get some ice.
You've written the word mini fridge on the side of that ice chest that you shoved inside that other fridge.
But okay. I did spell it right.
You spelled it with two N's.
Quiet, you.
Mini fringe. All right, so now you're professional, hardworking,
true. That's
voiceover
true
actor.
Yes.
And it's easy, right? Now you're smooth sailing.
Absolutely.
Jobs just pour in.
Absolutely.
From everywhere. You don't even have to, don't work hard.
I get up and I spend the day in my bathrobe and record from home.
You open up your microwave, money just pours out of
it. That's right.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
People are calling you and you just say hello and they give you $10.
No, it's like anybody who does not understand this industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I would tell any of them, the struggle doesn't end when you get the agent, and it doesn't end when you get your success. I'm currently leading an animated show. I think I can say it because it is on IMDb. I'm leading the animated series. And
you can say it.
I'm leading Kung
Fu. I didn't say I'd let you, but you can try.
You're a wily.
All right,
Kevin
go ahead.
Miller.
I'm just going to dial your voice down here.
I'm leading Kung Fu Panda, the animated series.
I thought that was Jack Black.
You thought it was Jack Black, but really, it's me. You had no idea.
Are you Jack
Black?
Amazing. Oh, wow. This
Master
whole time.
Shifu. I'm the dragon warrior. It's true. Skadoosh. So, no, for the animated series, I'm going to be Poe.
Which is on Nickelodeon.
On Nickelodeon in 2011.
Got it. Yeah. A lot happened in that year.
And that's a major gig. I mean, I'm on every week. Every time we have an episode, I'm there.
Yeah.
So that's an ongoing gig. And yes, it has thankfully become my primary source of income. But I still have to do a lot of other things gig-wise. Yeah. And I still have to work at my auditions. And I have to continually be pounding the pavement for work.
You mow anybody's lawn?
No. Thankfully, I can pound the pavement in this area for work. But, you know,
you're not literally out there pounding pavement.
No. I was operating a jackhammer earlier, but it was bad for the ears. So,
you walked into the booth. You're like, I'm ready to record.
Hey, everybody!
This is the sound of a jackhammer.
Now you want nice and easy read on this, right?
Here it comes. Go on.
That was good, Mick. Can you quiet down on the next take? Yes, no problem.
I think we should have him leave. Yeah. Let's have him go.
Yeah, so it's a matter of...
The baby's
now
intrigued.
So now it is a matter of just working.
Yeah, and what does that look like? What does it look to be a professional voiceover actor?
Looks like a lot of schmoozing and building on contacts. Every once in a while, I'm at the point where I'm, you know, other people are giving me gigs, bringing me in on something because they know I can do it. But it does mean that every time I get an audition, I have to work it.
Yeah.
One of the things that's helped me the most is I started teaching voiceover, and directing other people has helped me direct myself.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just did a stack of auditions today for a video game.
A stack.
It was like six characters.
That's great.
And I had to direct myself through each one of them, and my agent was quite happy with it. So that was good. Mm. That doesn't mean I'm going to book it. Mm. I mean, literally, I'm in the sea of the best talent in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all reading on the same projects.
Well, that's a good pool to be in.
Yeah.
If
it's
be
much better than to be, you know, the big fish in Little Fresno.
Yeah.
So
they got one
but
guy.
You know, anybody who is looking to come out here, I would say build your empire where you are first. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 2 to 3 years just doing local advertising, and
it
helped me. It helped me put together a demo. It helped me know what I was doing before I came here. Now, I still had to pay my dues when I got here. I still started at the bottom.
Yeah.
But at least I started at the bottom with some competence
and
knowing. And knowing some of what we were looking at. Like, I didn't ride in on a head of cabbage.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
Which a lot of people do. They come in and they say, I've been called to do this, or I have a dream, or I'm really good, or I did community theater, and gosh, aren't I hot stuff.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what they're doing.
You go into debt because you think that the moment you walk into the city, somebody's going to be like, oh, finally you're here.
Yes, exactly. and you know, you can worship at that golden idol all day and it won't pay off.
Yeah.
It won't
pay off. The golden microphone. So
the idol lies, people. It lies. It promises one thing and delivers
Kelly
another.
Clarkson, damn her. So Mac Winger, Mr. Voice Winger, Mr. Voice Winger.
Yes, Banger. You in the back.
Okay, so I live in Fresno, which is the Turlock Fresno combo nation, and I'm ready to move to Los Angeles and make myself a big old pile of money. What's the first thing I should do?
Get a job.
Okay. Got it.
Right. Seriously, the first thing you should do when you come to Los Angeles is get a day job.
Yeah, nice.
One that is flexible enough that you can do auditions. Take a class.
Oh.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In like taxidermy?
Yes, in taxidermy.
Doing
so that you know how to stuff dead animals because that's about the only work you're going to get.
Wait,
that's
I thought
true.
That was about QuickBooks.
My mistake.
It's a really well-educated dumb person. Okay, so I got myself a job. I'm all settled. I got me apartment. I'm responsible. How do I get me one of them agents you was talking
about?
That's
a great question. Yeah. You have to have a demo. Now, you either have
that? Like you knock down a building, a demo
yes,
it?
You demo the building, and your landlord comes and says, what have you done? I paid millions for this. This is coming out of your rent.
That's a good voice. I think I've got that one on my demo.
Good.
What have you done? This is your voice. I've got this on your demo.
Send me your demo. I'll take a listen to
Thank you. You're very nice.
What you do is you get your demo and you start submitting it to agencies. But what you really want to do is you want to take a class from somebody who is an industry professional. Because if you
Mick Wingert.
Like Mick Wingert. Or somebody like a Pat Fraley, who is a mentor to me, or somebody like a Ginny McSwain, who's a casting director, you get in front of voiceover people who can tell you whether you're good or not.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who will tell you you're good. Or not.
What are the three things I should not do on my demo?
the three things you should not do on your demo. Bad impressions.
Okay, like what? Like, I'm the Terminator.
Yes, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Like, really? Do you think somebody would do that bad of an impression?
Yes.
All
there
right.
are some really awful demos out there.
Okay.
Number two, don't drone on and on. Nobody wants an 8-minute demo. They want 1 minute. That's all you're going to get.
But I've got good stuff. I got Terminator.
And you got that Southern guy. See,
those two together?
Magic.
This is going to be great.
Number three, don't do a demo if you don't have the skills. Just don't. Because there's two things going on here. You got talent, you got skills. Your talent is what you bring to the table. It's what God has gifted you with. Yeah. You either can do this or you can't. Mm-hmm. Your skills are the things that you hone. And you can have somebody that's very talented that has no skill at all. If they're performing way back here and they're doing this awesome job, but they're not on mic, they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
So you don't want your demo to sound rinky dink.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of here's what you got to know. There are a lot of demo producers out here who will take your money and give you a slick sounding demo that will make you sound horrible because. Yeah. It'll be slick sounding. It'll be music and production, and you'll hear it and you go, "Wow, I sound great!" And then you'll listen to yourself perform because they haven't taken any time to direct you, and you don't have the skills to back it up. And you'll listen to yourself on that, and every read will sound flat and bad and cheeky and cheesy and gross. And
meanwhile, every other demo they turn out is the exact same thing. They just have you read the lines that fill into that section right there.
So you have to be careful with your money. There's a lot of sharks out here.
Yeah.
You don't want to do a demo till you're ready. So the number one thing, again, don't do bad impressions. Mm-hmm. If you do an impression, it better be spot on because you're going up against all of the top talent in voice matching in this town.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do a good Homer Simpson, it has to sound like Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah. Unless you are Dan Castellaneta.
Unless you are Dan Castellaneta.
And how do I go about submitting? Do I come up to the agent's house, knock on their door,
yes,
bake them a chicken?
That's their favorite way to do it, especially if you bring a gun.
And by gun, you mean a hat with a gun in it.
With a gun in it, yes. No, you don't want to submit at their home.
Mm.
You mail in your demos to agents. Now, there are a couple of schools.
But how do I get noticed? How do I mean...
The agents take time and listen to demos that are submitted to them.
Should I put glitter in the CD?
No.
Should I send a laser disc? Yeah. I've got to do something to get attention.
Just a big, like, vinyl-sized laser disc, full size.
Should I record it also on vinyl or just send them a vinyl? What about chocolate? Should I send them chocolate? Should I send them gifts? Should I send the agent gifts, like, every month?
What do you think?
I'm asking.
Okay.
I'm asking.
The best way to get an agent is to have somebody walk you in. Because even scripture says, let your praise come from somebody else's lips. You want somebody else to champion you, which is how I got both of the agencies I've been with. I got it from somebody calling the agent saying, you need to take a listen to Mick Wingert because he's good. Here's his demo. I'm going to have him send you an email. And I followed up with them based on the championing of somebody else. That's the best way.
Yeah.
So you really need to do. That's another reason why you take classes, because you get somebody who will believe in your talent and your skills and will teach you new skills. And then they can also become a way of getting noticed.
Yeah.
The other way is you have you do your hard copy demo, which are becoming more and more rare. Oftentimes now it's just an MP3 demo that you're emailing in.
Yeah.
So you could email them a copy of this show. This I wouldn't be wise, but especially if you're the Kevin Miller.
What's wrong with my voices? I got lots of them in here. I've done Terminator. I've done Kevin
Sarah
Miller.
Connor?
I've done my impression of Mick Wingert.
You have?
I'm Mick Wingert.
That's the worst impression of... You know
That's
what's fascinating?
That's the worst impression of me.
No one has ever done...
We should. Well, when Justin's voice is back on, he can do it. That's the talent he has, is doing innocuous voices. And my wife, I've learned, also can do voices of all sorts of things. She can just pick up accents and left and right. I'm not kidding, but she cannot do it when asked.
She can only do it... When it's spontaneous.
When it comes out of her. And it is spot on. She has a British accent that I think even Greg Young would say, yeah, that's pretty good. Catherine.
That's pretty impressive.
In the car ride, she was doing the sisters Autumn and Danica from our church. And it was as if they were in the car with us. And those
that
of you,
I have to hear.
If you're an Ecclesian, you know how
specific
they sound.
I'm just
going
to have to ride in the car with you guys.
Come on down. She might do it later for you. She might. If she can channel it.
Because those two are... Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating voices.
It's pretty great. Yeah. She won't do it when there's a microphone
open.
One
goes, the other goes,
she did it. Oh, good to see you. Da, 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 da. It was really good. They're characters.
When are you going to have Autumn or Danica on this podcast?
I would love to.
That would be awesome.
I bet Autumn would get on here. Danica might not, but Autumn might. We can get her to talk about her books and stuff. She's a world-famous author.
She is.
But
she's
Mick,
more world-famous than me.
No, Mick, you're known for more than just doing voices.
What's going on
in your personal life now that we have your background done?
I didn't sign up for this kind of podcast.
Welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. Talk about what's going on with you, man.
What do you mean? I'm living the bachelor life in sunny Southern
California. So you're a single man?
At this point, yes.
You're single. You don't have anybody special in your life.
I do, actually.
Uh-huh.
I'm on the verge of proposing.
Oh, wow. So it's
true
that public.
True story.
Wow.
True story.
Okay. What does that mean? You're on the verge of proposing.
I'm dating this wonderful woman that I actually have known since high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
And?
It's an amazing story.
Tell it.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll take another hour.
You got it. Go.
I've got an hour?
Yep.
I'm stalling now.
It's two podcasts.
An amazing story. Okay, well, her name is Shauna.
Mm-hmm.
I won't tell you the rest of her name because this is a public forum.
Yeah, that's right. That's her last name.
Shauna. And
well, they're doing a puzzle.
We went to school together. We actually met each other for the first time in the fourth grade.
Wow. Wow. So that was like 1973. 74.
I'm 1983 to the 1984 school year. Thank you very
got
much.
It. Oh, well, you were pretty much my age then.
Yeah, exactly. So we met in the fourth grade. We actually had sixth grade together. So mm-hmm. we were in the same class for sixth grade. And she told me later that she had a crush on me in sixth grade.
Oh, wow. In sixth grade?
In sixth grade.
Did you guys share desk or any of that?
I think we were at the same, like, glob of desks, which would be her
What
her
kind
word.
Of school were you in?
Well, we were in gate school.
Where they had globs?
Gifted and talented education.
We just pour down mayonnaise and make you sit at it. I need to see your pencils.
Mr. Vasolini, my pants are greasy.
His name was Vasolini?
Vasolini. I'm not kidding you. Mr. Vasolini.
Well, at the blob school, I imagine you'd be Vasolini, but Vasolini is probably a real thing.
Vasolini. Vasolini.
Got it. Couple
so
double
we
Z's.
Had Mr. Vasolini's class mm-hmm. together, and she had a crush on me in sixth grade. And then
I will never, ever marry you, ever.
No,
and then you
I
ran
said,
out of school.
I like G.I. Joe and Transformers. That's what I said.
Combine those two in their mask. Remember them? All right, go on.
Hells yeah.
Yeah, I got to keep it on topic.
We're
always talking about
I thought
about
this
Star
was
Wars.
Like a geek talk kind of
it's in everything. This is the second funniest podcast. We talk
it
about it all. Are you afraid to talk about your love life?
Maybe.
You know, I proposed to Kat on this show.
Not before you proposed.
No, I did that first, Ecclesia. But then I proposed again.
All right. Well, so we went away for different middle schools, and then we came. We both ended up at Roosevelt School of the Arts. Mm-hmm. She was there for singing and for dance, and I was there for acting, which I was a hack.
Mm. Oh,
it's true.
Oh.
And we all thought we were hot stuff.
You didn't
really
do Tevye. That was the problem. You should have done.
If I were a rich
yeah,
man.
Nice.
Little diddle 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 diddle.
The hand motions are my favorite part.
Yeah,
life would be
okay. That's enough. So we went to Roosevelt, and here's the kicker is. We moved in the same kind of school spheres. I mean, we had a lot of classes together, and we were very friendly towards each other, but we weren't friends. She had different friends than I had, and you know, we just didn't connect a whole lot. But we had a lot of classes and, you know, positive memories and that kind of thing. I go back to my yearbooks and read, and she and I have both decided she had it bad for me.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay,
yeah,
so yeah,
reading the yearbook
entries. She wrote in your yearbook, and you existed.
Yes, we existed.
Yeah.
I did have one prescient memory, one salient memory of her from high school, and it was from my senior year, but I'll get back to that later.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
our gem.
So we lose touch for 17 years after graduation.
Wow, that's a
like
lot of time.
After graduation, did not say a word to each other.
She still had a crush on you. She'd writing your yearbook, but you didn't know it. That happened to me once.
We graduated. There were no yearbooks.
There was this girl who kept coming over my house and signing my yearbook. I'm like, get out of here, Lucy.
Who are you?
Oh, she was Lucy.
Van Pelt?
Yeah, most of what I just said wasn't real. All right, go on.
Thank you for clarifying.
Is that from the Peanuts? Is that what
that's correct?
Name?
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
So, obscure reference of the night goes to Mick Wingert. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you see
Thank you so much.
They're doing pistachio commercials now. The Peanuts
what?
Characters, yeah, and Lucy and Charlie Brown are wearing green shirts, and the pistachio, the football is a pistachio, a giant pistachio, and then Lucy pulls it out underneath Charlie Brown's, and then it flies up in the air and lands on his head, and out comes a green pistachio. And the only thing of that I had a problem with the whole time is that Charlie Brown wears a yellow shirt, not a green shirt. Though there's something wrong with the color on my TV.
You're about to take that LCD back.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Green shirt, what's going on?
It's pistachios. Oh, well, they have bad taste.
Oh, they have very bad taste.
So
messing with the icons.
17 years of not interacting.
Not interacting
the woman
at all.
That would become your wife.
Yeah.
Possibly. If she says yes.
More than likely.
Got it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't talk to her for 17 years.
Was she mad?
The magic of Facebook.
Oh, a successful Facebook story.
So yes, absolutely. And what happened was, I saw her pop up on Facebook a year ago and was like, oh my gosh, it's Shauna.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in forever.
She used to have 17 years. She used to have it bad for me.
No,
like
I was completely obtuse that
really?
She had it bad for me until I went back and read the yearbooks.
Such a big dumb boy.
In the last, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I was like, I'm good. I like theater and I'm
mask.
I'm gonna play with toys.
A gas station turns into a rocket launcher. Remember that place?
It was the secret base, and
it
I
was
had
totally
that.
Sweet. Oh,
I
you
had
were,
that.
Do you still have that?
No, I might.
Oh man, you'd be my best friend if
I
you bring
might.
That out.
I might.
Oh,
I'll,
please
I'll
bring
check.
That down. Oh, that'd be so cool. I wanted that so bad as a kid.
I'll check.
Go on.
So I wanted the USS flag. From G.I. Joe, which, like the AT-AT, would have been a completely impractical toy because it was literally 3 feet long.
Oh, because it fit all the characters in it, right? All
it was
the
big
figures.
Air. Yeah. It was the big aircraft carrier. Yeah. You could actually land a jet on it. And I don't mean a toy jet. I mean an actual
right.
jet, like
yeah,
a
yeah.
military jet yeah. could land.
And then the sharks would come up. Da-na-na-na-na. Because you were in theater the whole time. They were always fighting. Wow, I hurt your feelings. I crossed a line.
I
there.
Want to live in America. Everything free in America.
Yeah, I just had to make you shift CDs. All right.
So
17 years
later, she pops up on Facebook.
And I just have to interrupt you again because 17 years is always the number people pull out as a random number. When you say, oh, it was like 17 years ago.
No,
or,
literally 17 years.
I know. I have a hard time believing you because that's the random fake number like
okay we graduated I probably should not say when we graduated.
we can already do the math. You told us when you were in the sixth grade. I've got it.
Okay, so we graduated the same year,
yeah,
early 90s. I'll say that.
Okay.
Early 90s. Mm-hmm. It was not until 2009,
17 years later,
that we connected.
See, but I could do math. So 1992.
Point it out. Keep
okay.
pointing it out.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not complicit in this because I didn't say
17 years. All right.
So literally 17 years later, she pops up on Facebook and I say, I haven't seen you in forever.
17.
At that point, I did not know it was 17 years because I could not be bothered to do the math.
Mm.
So I
can't stop doing the math.
I have not seen you in forever. You look great. I hope you're doing great. She sends back a message telling me kind of what her life has been like and mm-hmm. just that she is fine. And we both recognized and saw from our profiles that we were Christians. And we would just chit-chat back and forth for a year. And when I mean chit-chat, I mean literally like commenting on people's status messages once in 3 months.
Yeah.
Like not a whole lot of contact at all. I had promised her when we first connected that if she sent me her story, I would send her a Facebook message with my story,
yeah.
And I never made good on that because she had sent me like a one paragraph kind of summary, and I was like,
"That
I
want to
know what happens,
yeah,
what's
yeah.
happened in
17 years."
17 years,
at least
so
a paragraph
I never
per
made,
year.
But so I never made exactly. I need 17 paragraphs. So I didn't make good on it. Well, something had happened just this last year, and again, we had just been in random chit chat from every once in a while, and. Something she posted some status message that seemed a bit mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent her a private message asking for some clarification on it. And she said gladly, and here's what I meant by that. And I said, and you know what? I never did send you that letter. So I decided I'm just going to take the initiative and I'll send my story.
Nice.
Sent my story. She responded very positively to it. And out of the blue, she said, you know, I'm going to take my boys to Disneyland coming up in 2 weeks. And I'm a single mom. I got two boys. And it's just going to be a handful. They're 4.5 and 7.5. And it could just turn into a nightmare. And I don't know. Just as Facebook friends, I'm wondering if you might be willing to help me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I know it's awkward. You don't have to say yes. I respect totally respect you either way. And
yada,
whatever.
Yada, yada.
And I considered it. I considered it, and I thought, you know, I'm a pretty intentional guy. I try to live intentionally with my relationships,
yeah,
not get into weird,
intentional.
Into weird situations, and something about it just, I just really wanted to help her, but you know, there was also some attraction there.
Yeah,
I won't lie to you. And
you can't. You're under oath.
I am?
Yeah. That's what this podcast
is.
It's the truthfulest podcast.
That's not true.
No, it's truth.
That's not true.
It's all true.
That's not true at all. All right. So, Justin, can you make me some popcorn? No, I don't want any popcorn. I'm just teasing.
It's for everybody.
So I actually asked a couple of friends if they would go just in order to be intentional. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Mm-hmm. Let's make it a group date.
Yep.
So everybody's happy. There's kind of a safe. Nothing. There's no weird messages like, "Hey, I'm into you, baby."
Yeah.
It's just good fun, safe. We're going to be at Disneyland. More many hands make light work.
Yeah.
In terms of the boys, the friends that I invited said, "Yes, we'll go." So I told her, "Yes, I'll go." And then my friends contacted me and said, one of them said, "I'm sick. I've got the flu." And it was him and his girlfriend that were going to go come. And so neither of them came.
Bunch
and it
of
ended
liars.
Up being her and I and the boys at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And it was a magical day.
Yeah, wow.
It was just real. It
That's
was just,
cool.
All of a sudden, I had a family for a moment.
Oh.
And we kind of both walked away from that Disneyland day. And I said, you know, it's up to you. Send me your story. And she started sending me her story. And I got more and more involved. And I was realizing, you know, at the time, she lived a couple of states away. So
yeah.
Any chance of this being a long of this being a relationship would be completely over long distance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not wise. There are these boys involved and there's this woman, she's in a completely different state and this just doesn't make sense. And I've never considered, you know, I've never even considered dating a woman with kids before.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this stuff was piling in. And I just said, you know, this is an easy walk. I need to walk away from this. This is just not a smart move. There's plenty of fish in the sea.
Yeah.
I'm becoming a successful voice actor. I have my pick of the litter. And so I walked away. And for about 3 weeks, I was absolutely miserable.
Hmm.
And when I say miserable, I mean, and this was during your wedding.
Yeah. I know. You kept crying the whole time.
And it was horrible.
You just were
I was
not,
sobbing.
Was
like in the middle of the ceremony.
Groomsman.
I was like, oh, Kevin.
Like, why?
Joseph's like, it's not about you. It's
he
about
did say
them.
That. A lot.
He said that a lot. And he was looking right at me. So,
which is weird because he wasn't, because it wasn't about you.
What? It wasn't about me?
No, that was the whole point.
Oh, shucks. So anyway, during that time I walked away. I was completely miserable. And it wasn't, oh, I'm so sad I don't have a girlfriend, miserable. It was literally begging God for the opportunity to love this woman.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Crazy like that. So... So after about 3 weeks or so, and after a lot of input from various people in my community, all my friends and stuff,
your ecclesians,
my ecclesians and others,
they don't count.
I sent her a Facebook message after we had already called it quits and been very intentional about, because I'm an intentional guy, and been very intentional about cutting it off. I sent her a Facebook message and said, listen, I've considered a bunch of things and, I'd be honored if you'd take my call this weekend.
No, oh,
wow. She responded that she would.
Oh.
Eventually.
She was busy.
Her first response was, get away from me, turkey. That's not true. Her first response actually
she knew
was,
your nickname.
Let me pray about it.
Oh, wow.
Which was very...
You turkey.
Let me pray about it, you turkey. And then she eventually said, yeah, I'd be willing to take your call.
That's cool.
And the rest is history, and we've been dating ever since. And she's relocating to our hometown. And
nice.
So I get.
She's going to be a voiceover actor then.
She is actually.
Which is done with.
She's
present.
Working on a Homer Simpson impression.
good for her.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Mick Winger.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks very much.
So
thanks.
You know, you are a successful voiceover actor. You have promising love life.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is.
It's a good season to be Mick Winger.
It's all. I mean,
let me tell you.
You get full credit for this, right? I mean, this is all because you did all these things. rings and you did all this hard work.
Justin gets credit for this. It's all about Justin.
All right.
I give credit to the Lord above.
There it is.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true.
So before I let you go.
True story.
Yeah, amen. You have to do impressions for us because you are a successful voiceover actor.
And I'm going to prove what a hack I am just so your listeners don't get the expectation. Oh my gosh, he's a professional voice actor. So Kevin's going to throw all this stuff at him and he's going to be
perfect. I'm going to soft lob you and then we're going to get hard. Okay, ready? And Russian.
Well, it is important for us to do a podcast here in Russia. Otherwise, we have no joy. We are doing second vodka podcast ever recorded in Russia. We are episode how many? We are episode
151.
152.
Right. French.
But when you are doing podcasts in France, you have to make sure to use the language of love. Mm, nice. It's very good.
Chinese.
I think maybe you come over here. We do podcasts very differently for you.
That's good. Santa.
Oh, Kevin, have you been nice this year or have you been naughty?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Listen, I've just about had it with all of this. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Get down.
Jack Black.
All right, now listen. This is not... I'm getting paid for this, right? this doesn't happen for free. Sorry.
Boston.
Oh,
you don't have a Boston? Oh, I was trying to think of... No. What's another one you have? You have
New York.
Oh, New York. Fair enough. New York!
All right, listen. We're going to take you around the city. You're going to love it. Forget about it.
Klingon.
Kapla!
Yeah!
All right. Second funniest podcast,
Mick
ladies
Wingert.
And gentlemen.
Mick Wingert.
Kevin Miller, the Kevin Miller, coming to you live every week.
Thanks. Anything you want to tell us before you go? Anything you got to plug or anything?
I've always loved you, Kevin.
Oh, that's nice. No, do we plug something? Don't you have a show or something?
Watch when Kung Fu Panda Legends of Awesomeness comes out. Looks like it's going to be June or November of next year.
Wow.
Tune in on Nickelodeon.
It's quite a spread.
Yes, it is. Tune in, Nick, 2011. Kung Fu Panda Legends of Awesomeness. In the meantime, also buy the video game for Kung Fu Panda, the movie.
Yeah.
And the video game coming out for Kung Fu Panda 2, The Kaboom of Doom, which will be coming out for, I believe, Kinect Technology.
Oh, fun. Great. So, and you're the voice for both of those
as
well.
And I'm the voice of Poe.
And if I want to get on the web and learn more about your life, I'd go to...
www.mickwingert.com. And if you have voiceover experience, I... run a class and a workout group for people who have experience. And then I also do from time to time beginner classes. So
cool.
If you're interested in learning voiceover and you're in the Los Angeles area, you can go to mickwingert.com and look up my classes.
Do I have to be in LA to do that?
Yes, you do.
Fair enough.
Justin doesn't. I would be willing to do that remote.
All right,
for
Mick
him.
Wingert. Yay!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Justin, do I have to do your plugs? Do you have any plugs?
I think he's got hair plugs.
He does have hair plugs. Where are your plugs at? This is still stalling. Oh, okay. He's not going to be at the Ice House. Go to justincomedy.com for all of... And remember to vote for us. We need your feedback. Head to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Listen, folks, if you want to donate to the show, you can donate. There's a little button there. Give us $2 a month. And you'll help Justin pay for all this stuff because he's got a baby that eats a lot of food. And
he's eating popcorn right now.
That's all they can afford to feed him is popcorn. So if you give $2 a month, the funny keeps pouring in. Thanks, David Plummer, for subscribing. Are these your dates here? October's in the past. So Denver Improv, November 26th through the 28th. You can head to... I think it's improvcomedy.com. He'll be at the Stardome November 30th, and that's through December 5th, and that'll be in the city of Birmingham, Alabama. Don't forget to go to justincomedy.com, and you can subscribe to us. Become a fan on Facebook. This thing is really taking off. All right, how'd I do with the plugs? It was pretty good. Thanks. Hopefully Justin will have his voice back next week. On behalf of Justin Warsham, this is Kevin Miller saying, okay, bye.